to The Gateway, your compass through the magical waters of spirit communication, broadcast live from United Public Radio Network 107.7 FM New Orleans. I'm your host, C.L. Thomas. One of the things I've learned about mediumship over the years is how many other people I've met who are gifted with the same abilities. I'm one of those people, and I know this is very controversial. I'm definitely one of those people who believe that everyone out there is gifted with a set of abilities, whether they believe it or not. I believe everyone has a certain level of gifts. If anyone tells you that they're the only ones that can connect with spirit, run, they're lying. These abilities come in many guises as well. And I think often we choose to develop our gifts, how we interact with spirit and open ourselves up to it. That makes a huge difference to the role it plays in our life. That said, I've been one of those that experienced paranormal phenomena since I was a very young child. And I must tell you, I wasn't one of those that was afraid of it, but it did make me somewhat of a very strange child, to the point where I was just very different. And how do we deal with it? How did you deal with it? When you realize that you have different abilities and things as a child, I grew up in the 80s and there just wasn't a lot of, there wasn't a lot of support. Nobody really knew about it. We didn't have the TV shows, et cetera, et cetera. Well, my guest tonight is Travel Channel psychic medium, Sarah Lemos, and she has a lot of things to share about childhood and mediumship. And also we're going to discuss some of her shows, such as The Ghost of Morgan City, Ghost Town Terror, Portals to Hell. She's been on The Osbournes, Want to Believe, and Conjuring Keisha. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with how it all started for you.
So, you know, my mom says it started really early. She said she noticed things when I was, you know, nonverbal, you know, before I even learned how to talk, that I did certain things that she just watched really carefully, different movements. And at one point she thought I was talking in tongues. And she did what she could. She held me, she reassured me. But she did notice early on that there was something a little different about me. My first memories of working with my gifts as a child was right around 5 or 6 years old. And you're right. There wasn't anything on for our, even if our parents wanted to help us, there wasn't anyone you could contact. There wasn't anything you could watch and there wasn't anything that you could read. And so for me, I started seeing spirit right around 5 or 6 years old. Now I was, you know, I've told this story many times, but it's very true. You know, we had stranger danger. It was very big where you did not talk to strangers. So I didn't talk to spirit, because I was told not to. So I saw them, but I didn't communicate with them until I was older.
That's interesting. When I saw them as a very young child too, and for me, they were friends. You know, I would converse with them. They would be in my room, all sorts of things. So when your mother knew about this, mm-hmm. What was her initial reaction?
Just to soothe me, I think. You know, my mom herself is gifted, but she didn't know what to do with her gifts because if it was hard on me, it must have been extremely hard on her. She comforted me the best way she could. You know, when I got into my teen years, you know, even though I saw a lot of spirits, even like, I think I was right around 8 or 9 when I woke up with a spirit at the end of my bed. It was a cowboy. And when I woke up, I just woke up swinging. So I was swinging and trying to get away from him because it was startling, you know. But that was probably around 8 or 9. And then I started seeing more and more spirits as I got older. And I think maybe that's because there was a part of me that was more accepting versus fearful.
Did you ever during that time speak to anybody who knew what was going on, like another medium or anything like that? Like you said, your mother had a little bit of abilities. Did she kind of guide you in any way?
No, she didn't know how to. So she couldn't really guide me. I was probably right around 11 years old when my mom started teaching me about mediumship. She started teaching me how to do astral projection. So at 11 years old, she was teaching me what we call flying. And so how to astral project. She taught me what she knew, right? I mean, there wasn't much out there. I remember her, you know, doing tarot, what I know is tarot now. But as a child, I didn't know what it was at the kitchen table. She'd have friends over and would do tarot. But it was the one deck of cards I could not touch. So I remember these things now and go, oh, I know what mom was doing. But no, we didn't really talk about it. I did have make-believe friends and things like that. And she just played along with me. So she supported me, but I don't know that she had any reference to teach. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Are you familiar with the terms such as star child and crystal children, things of that, you know, you hear this a lot in the metaphysical world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard it. I've met kids that are under that umbrella, I guess you'd say. And I think it's interesting for different. My understanding is it's different age groups and different timelines mm-hmm. that they have those names.
Right. And so I think one of them was during the late 70s and well into the 80s. And then there was a group somewhere mid 60s, I think there was a wave of them. But yeah, it's interesting because one of the things that you read about is that children with these abilities tend to struggle a little bit with these abilities growing up, and adults really don't seem to understand what's going wrong with them. So they tend to put them on medicine for ADHD and different things like that.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think also, you know, as I grew up, I had a harder time learning because I was very distracted. Mm-hmm. I can only speak for myself, but, and so that was really difficult for me because I was very distracted. When you see things, feel things, and experience them in a heightened way, you tend to be distracted. So for me, I was a distracted kid and definitely was in the LRC or the learning room, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, for me, it was difficult. But when I became a teenager, it was a little different. It was more like I had close friends I could share this with. I had like four good girlfriends that I told, or they saw things when they're around me. So I wasn't the only one who experienced things. They would also see things when we were together. And so I felt comfortable for the first time sharing these things that I was seeing.
What are some of the things that you think now parents can do if they suspect that their child might be psychic in some way?
Yeah, I think it's so important. You know, we support our children if they like sports. We support our children if they play the piano. This is also an absolute gift and ability that I feel should support our children. And one way we can do that is, you know, make believe and our gifts are really tied together. So the idea of make believe or having vision or seeing things or pretending things, or just allowing a child to be who they are, is really important. And it's a special thing you can do for them. Both of my children are gifted and have abilities. So my son is a medium. And so when he was very young, he started having these experiences. And so I just talked to him about it. You know, I was an open book. You know, they could come to me and talk to me about what they were experiencing. I didn't dig at it. So I didn't ask a lot of questions because I didn't want them to have to feel like they had to, how can I say this, add to missing pieces. Like, I just wanted them to be able to come to me and say, hey, you know, I saw this person. This is how they were dressed. And I'd say, oh, you know, anything else, you know, but I wouldn't, you know, create any obstacles for them. My daughter is very much a psychic. So she would see things and know about missing people. So I would look it up and experience these things with her. But you know, yeah, I would hold space to allow them to talk about it is a great first step.
So you have a class that you teach about working with spirit guides. Do you work with spirit guides personally?
Yeah. So I've been teaching for about 12 years now. I have an academy online that teaches pretty much all aspects of metaphysics. And one of the classes that I teach is working with your guides and teachers. And at first I had no idea what guides were. I just knew because there was nobody that taught us these things. So it was I experienced these things, but they didn't have a name, right? And so sometimes people ask me, hey, Sarah, do you do this? And I'm like, it's a name. Yes, I do it, but I didn't know it was called that because there was no education. I love people and helping them fine tune their gifts and abilities.
How long ago did you, or let me reword that. How did you find out that you had a guide?
You know, reading, finally finding education. You know, I'm really grateful for those that kind of went before us, like Sylvia Brown. You know, at least we had something to lean on and to educate ourselves with. So I really appreciated, she handwrote over 60 books in her time with us here on this planet. And she was able to share her thoughts, at least. And what I always say to people is, as you are out there trying to find out if you are a sensitive, if you're a medium, if you're a healer or whatever, take what you want, leave the rest. So you may not agree with everything that author has to say, but there might be pieces here and there that you can use to help yourself. And so Sylvia was one of those for me.
Do you have other influences that you read?
So for me, Lisa Williams was my teacher, and I really appreciate all that I learned from Lisa Williams. You know, now I tend to learn from those that I work with, like Cindy Kaza. I appreciate her and her information and things like that. And so I'm continuing now that there is people writing and there's things that I can learn. I'm constantly learning and growing my gifts.
So if you have a case of a young child, say you go into a home and you're trying to help them, and this child is visibly has mediumship gifts, how do you go about counseling them? And how do you decipher whether this child might be experiencing something other than mediumship? Like let's say he has borderline schizophrenia or something like that.
Yeah. So one thing that's really big for me is I'm not a doctor. And so I always tell my clients, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see this through the eyes of psychic medium. That's my job. And if you feel that this child might be experiencing schizophrenia or anything like that, you need to have them see a specialist. That's not me. And so I can help and I can support in this box, but I cannot step out of that box. And I will not diagnose. I am not certified to diagnose. So it is not my place to say if this person is experienced. I can only say, I suggest you see a doctor. And what the parents do from that point forward is up to them. But for me, it's empowering that child. Because most of the time, like I was scared, that child is scared. They don't understand why they're seeing, hearing, feeling, or knowing these things. And so supporting that child in that is important. One thing that I always talk to parents about is sage spray. So making their own sage spray so they can empower that child to spray it. One of my teachers did that for me. And so I always have them do that. Also creating a statement. An intention. So, but you know, you're not going to tell a kid that. You're going to say, this is what you say when you spray, right? So you say, go away, not right now, right? And then they say they spray their sage, and it empowers them. They're taking back their power. They're not handing it over. And really, that's what we want to teach them.
There's a lot of adults that could use that as well, actually.
Absolutely.
So help us, when you think about a child in high school, you have all that weirdness going on with, you know, it's an awkward time of life, basically.
Absolutely.
And you also have that fear factor, because you really don't know in high school, you're fearful about going out onto your own. What are you going to do in life? That sort of thing. And at the same time, you're going through the whole body change and puberty and all this. So how would they overcome having abilities?
You know, for me, it's sought out people that you can trust. You know, if your parents can help connect you to someone, that's important. Being part of a peer group that would support that. Journaling, very important to have, you know, a place for you to let go of your fears. You know, if you can't talk to somebody, you can write it out, which is very important. I think there's a lot of education out there for youth to get a hold of now. And that's a good thing. And that can be a bad thing also. So a lot of times telling parents to watch what they're going to share first, because that's important. You know, I think kids that are, you know, from 16 to 19, you know, when they learn about crystals and they learn about these different ways of grounding and technique, it's important. It's important at that age.
Have you ever come across kids that intentionally dig into the dark arts out of curiosity?
Yeah. One of the scariest situations I've been in was with a teen that called on some energy, didn't tell her parents. Their parents contacted me and was like, "Sarah, we need your help. There's something in our house. We don't know how to get rid of it." And when I made my way over to this property, this entity was really clear that there's nothing you can do. And I was like, "You're confused. I absolutely can move you." And they were like, "I've been called here." And I was like, "Oh." So I just got real clear with the teen and their mom. Just so you know, this energy was called here. And the teenager was like, "Oh," and I'm like, "Sorry, kiddo, if you're going to do this type of stuff, you're going to get called out. You need to understand your parents, you know, had me come out here for a reason, and I can't have you calling this energy back." So yeah. And I think, you know, kids will watch a TV show and they're like, "I'm going to get a Ouija board. You know, I'm going to do this. This is going to be so cool. Like, let's stay up at night and do this." And it's like, if you already have the abilities and you're gifted, and then you use a tool, which it is like using a pendulum or any other tool, you're calling in this energy, you know, it can be a storm. It can really create a storm.
Sorry, there was a little lag there. We had a question that came in. Does distant healing work at all?
Does distant healing work?
It's kind of random question.
I think it's a great question.
I guess
So distant healing absolutely can work, because remember, intention is the power that we have, right? So intention of healing, even if it's distance healing, can absolutely, I feel, you can absolutely heal someone from distance. Yes.
What are your comments about, have you seen the case with Hans Holzer, with the case that he had in Texas, with there was a family of four and they were in a very haunted house. There was flies and bugs showing up on the property, and eventually the family moved, and he said it was the case that kind of got to him. He said he wished he could have reached the kid. The kid ended up committing suicide years later because he walked away from that haunting, not able to take back his own power, like you said before. Have you come across any cases in your work so far to where you've met somebody and just haven't been able to reach them, or maybe you have reached them?
Yeah, so I work, you know, with, I've worked with a lot of teens. I've worked with, usually it's kids from 12 to 19, you know, that are experiencing things because they're going through puberty. And so it is creating what I call sideways energy. And things are happening. Things are getting knocked over. Televisions are turning on and off. You know, poltergeist-like activity, which we now know can happen around teens and their energy, and it gets thrown sideways. And so, and I think, again, that's why it's really it's really important to me to create empowerment in this youth and showing them the way to not only in life take back their power, but in these situations and how to do it safely. And how to also not be so scared to respect that energy in a way that isn't fearful.
Do you have a specific case that you can talk about without naming names?
Yeah. So absolutely. So, you know, there was a case where I was called out to a home and they were experiencing cold spots, but most of all, they were really experiencing smoke detectors going off, televisions going on and off, lights flickering, these type of things. And I went out and trying to debunk, and they had a 13-year-old girl that lived on the property who it was new to the home. She had moved to the home because she was displaced from another family, and she was there in this household. And she was going through some emotional stuff. She was going through some deep emotional stuff. And so she was very interested in working with her gifts and working with spirit because she was seeing it. And so she wanted to learn how to work with it. And so again, in this situation, I went in trying to debunk it. They were absolutely having these experiences. And so it really, we really had to sit down and create an open conversation about what was happening, how she could deal with it and cope with it, how she could not feed it or fuel it, and how she could be more open with the parental figures so that she could feel safe in this space.
What are some of the ways for our listeners out there? There may be somebody listening that are experiencing those kind of problems. What are the ways that they can kind of diffuse that energy?
Yeah. I think, you know, it's very normal. Again, it's not something that we can control. So first of all, understand that, you know, sideways energy, this energy that is created in some of us that are going through puberty is very normal. And that, first of all, know that there's nothing wrong with you. Please don't think there's anything wrong with you because these things are going on. Okay. It's not a curse. It's not a curse. It's an ability. And it may feel that way, but understand that you're going to be okay and that you need to ask questions and you need to get support. Breathing is really important. When you're frustrated and you're overwhelmed, take a few deep breaths. This is what we would call grounding, but not to get it crazy in your head. I don't want to I don't want to make this difficult for you guys. So breathing is really important. If you can ground, that's also important. So it's very simple. Just get outside with your shoes off and walk in the grass for a little bit. But calming yourself is important. You'll notice that when you're calm, things are calm. And that when you get excited, things will get excited.
Sarah, you've been on a lot of TV shows. The Ghost of Morgan City, Ghost Town Terror, Porters to Hell, The Osbournes, Once a Believe, Conjuring Keisha. What were some of your favorite experiences from these shows?
Well, I think to go back to Louisiana and go back to Ghost of Morgan City, that was an amazing experience. Being a part of an incredible team with Jeremy Leonard, Katie Stanford, and Ben Hansen. And being a part of a community like Morgan City was an opportunity that I will never, ever, ever take for granted. And, you know, being a part of a culture, you know, I'm from Oregon, and being able to come down to Louisiana and experience the food and the people and the kindness was just an amazing experience. But also understanding from my own personal belief is that you have an area that has been traumatized by weather, and there's been many losses of homes, losses of lives, and an amazing community that rebuilds itself over and over again. But there's mm-hmm. been a lot of stories down there, and there was a lot of experiences, and I'll never forget it. And it was amazing. And one of my favorite experiences down there is we did a case that was on an island, and we got to go out in the swamps and have this experience that I'll never forget. But yeah, there's, you know, countless times that I had down there that I loved.
Sarah, I have to agree with you. For some reason, that part of the world around the Gulf and around Louisiana, particularly in southern Mississippi, that holds a kind of energy that's just nowhere else. And I don't know why. And it's just so beautiful and so enticing. It just sucks you right in.
It sure does. Yeah, out of all the places I've been, it's amazing.
Has this been your experience? One of the things I've noticed about, I've lived all over the country now and been ghost hunting all over the country, from New England, Deep South, even overseas now. But it seems like different pockets. The latest thing is ghost towns, because I live in Las Vegas. The energy in the hauntings take on a different energy. Do you notice that as well?
Yeah, in a ghost town?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something about the stories and bringing together, I feel personally, these different homes and these different places where people lived, they hurt, they thrived, they were in despair. They were, you know, there's so much emotion in these homes and these places. And I think, you know, those stories live on through the energy that is there. And sometimes that's spirit and sometimes that's residual. But yes, I think it's interesting when you bring all these different energies together and how they kind of take on a life of their own.
It's definitely true. And I think, too, something about the history and the life challenges that they've had, like in, for instance, there's a place called Delamar, which is a really remote ghost town. You have to hike into it because the road got washed out. But there's about 100 structures or more left of this town. And you can go in there, it's on BML land, you can go camping there, whatever you want to do. But I caught some of the most sinister EVPs from this place. It's unbelievable. Like I've heard, there's one that says, they're going to kill me. We're not human, just mean, nasty EVPs throughout this little ghost town.
Wow.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
But
and is it near a river?
What's that?
Is it near a river?
It's not. It's in a high desert up in the mountains.
Wow. Okay.
So Delamar, it was a mining camp, and it's up a mountain, and it's in a little valley, and it's the only way in and out is an old wagon trail. And the way they were moving the ore out is they had those overhead carts that were on a pulley system, and they would take it all the way down to Rhyolite to hit a train. They couldn't even get a train up through there.
Wow.
So that's never run. And they had a town. It didn't have running water. It didn't have electricity. So you just think about, but yet there was like 100 houses and things there, and streets and shops. And it was like a town. So you think about how these people were living, you know, there was a two-story school that's still there. But to your point, yeah, the different energies in each location is just astounding sometimes
mm-hmm.
when you travel through there. So when you worked with the portals to hell, what was that like?
Katrina and Jack were awesome. It was a great experience. One of my favorites was we went to a theater in, Georgia. And I love theaters, and I had one of my best experiences. And just, I did get to go to several other different locations. One here in Oregon, the Shanghai Tunnels, which was quite an experience, just because even though I lived in Oregon my whole life, I had never ventured there. So it was quite an experience.
What is the Shanghai Tunnels? Some people may not know. I know it's a popular paranormal destination, but some of the listeners may not know what that is.
So, my understanding, all I know is that they had slaves build the cities, but would live underground. So they built these tunnels where they lived and sold their own goods and so forth and so on, and literally lived underneath the city that they built.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I knew that.
They were not allowed to be seen.
What were some of the things that you found there?
Really, my job was to tell them where to go and where they might experience heightened energy or flux or spirits. So my job was to let them know if you go down this way or you go down that way, because I do a lot of remote viewing. And so it was like, this is what I'm seeing. This is where I think there might be a hot spot.
Out of all of these programs that you've been on, how did it help you grow as a medium?
Oh man, it really has. Being able to go, being blessed to be asked to come out to these different locations all over the United States, to some of the most haunted locations. It was incredible to learn how to tap in, tune in, wait for my turn to talk, which I'm not always good at. And experiencing different energies, different entities, and as a medium learning, what this energy might feel like versus that energy.
So one of the things that you've said is that you end up being the one to help clients heal through mediumship. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. As I became an adult, it was a lot more difficult to come to the understanding that this is a gift and this is not a curse, and I need to learn how to work with it. And now as an adult, there is, books and there's television shows and there's these things where I could reach out. And one of the things that I did and I talk about is in my local area, I reached out to many different psychic mediums and said, I need help. And I was told by many, I will not help you. And thank God I found a local metaphysics store that, even though they didn't have all the answers, they were willing to help me. And so I said to myself, that's what I'm going to be for other people. I'm going to be someone that helps. I may not have all the answers, but I'm here to listen. I'm here to support, and I'm here to teach you as much as I have that I've learned myself. So that's what I've been doing for the last 12 years. And my program's called Pathways to Spirit. And it's a 6-month program that takes you through learning about your gifts, through the chakra systems, learning how to work with energy, learning how to live as a sensitive, because we do live a bit different. And there are things that are harder on us, I would say, than others.
Sorry, Sarah, we got another pause there for some reason.
No worries.
Kind of cut out. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Do you have to be advanced or be a beginner to be in these classes?
So all my classes start at beginning. Wherever you're at with your abilities, it's a place to begin, because really it's about pathways back to self. It's finding your connection to who you are and honoring where you're at, and then also learning how to expand and work out those muscles as a psychic and as a medium.
Yeah, I like to say that everybody has abilities. I truly believe that. But some people are more developed than others. And it is important to develop those gifts, because it's my opinion that if you don't and you're just out there to hang a shingle, you can really hurt somebody in this field. You know, these are people you're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you say has power. It absolutely has power. And so understanding that, you know, I see different venues where psychic mediums are, you know, sharing what they know, and I honor that. But you can also see that some of the things that they're saying or sharing could be hurtful and could do more harm than good. And I think as a psychic medium, one thing that I am really clear with is I have a responsibility. I have a karmatic responsibility for what I say and what I do.
Exactly. At the same time, though, too, you kind of have to make it clear that you're also not a counselor. You know, I come across that a lot as well with people.
I tell that to my students all the time, is that be very clear that you are not a therapist or a counselor, that's not our job. And what we are here to do is to communicate through whatever we know, what we're being given by spirit or source.
So what do you mean by source? I get that question a lot from people. What do you mean by spirit and by source?
So spirit is spirit guides, angels, and those on the other side. And then source energy for me is my own connection to my God. So I'm not here to tell you who your God is or where you get your information from. But for me personally, it's my connection to my source and spirit, my God, if you will.
Sarah, I have to back up just a little bit, because I meant to ask you this earlier and I completely forgot. I have a friend right now who he's a little bit older, and he's just now coming into realizing that he has mediumship gifts. He's learning how to develop them, that sort of thing. He thinks that he has a spirit guide. What are some of the steps that he can take to actually identify and connect with that spirit guide?
That's a great question. I think our connection to our spirit guides is very personal. I do not believe it is the right of a psychic medium to tell someone who their spirit guide is. I think it's a very personal thing. So I love that he's ready to step forward and interact. I think working with your guides is like working with a very good friend. And I always suggest doing guided meditations, because in the beginning, we're nervous. We are nervous. What if we do this wrong? What if we do it wrong? What if we do it wrong? And I think what's important is just any step forward is in the right direction. And connection through guided meditations can be easier. And what I would suggest too is honor what you receive. That doesn't mean you have to say, well, it's fact. No, you can just take it in. And if it feels right to you, then it is right to you. So when you work with your guides, it's really important too to always remember your guides will never tell you to hurt yourself or others ever. And their real reason to be here is to support us, love us, and protect us while we're here on this plane.
So somebody told me that you have a couple of trips coming up. Is that true?
So, trips?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I am headed to Texas this weekend to do the San Antonio Spirit Fair, Psychic and Spirit Fest. I'm excited about that. I also have the Bigfoot Festival here in Oregon. And then I'm really excited because I will be heading next year to Scotland.
With Mysterious Adventures Tours?
Yes.
What are you guys going to do there? I travel with them quite a bit too, and I'm always excited about hearing about those trips.
Yes. So we're going to be heading to some of the locations where we're going to be focusing on the witch, the energy of witches, the idea of witches and the work that was done in different locations and what they experienced. And I am going to bring my own a set of skills and we're going to have a great time.
That sounds exciting. What other projects do you have coming up?
So right now I am working with a lot with my students. We have Meet Your Guides starts on the 20th and runs through the 26th. And then every month I offer a Q&A. So, the Q&A this month is also on the 26th. And I just do a Q&A where you can come in and ask questions about your gifts, ask questions about my classes. So it's something that I offer. So that's kind of where I'm focused right now.
That sounds, do you have any books or anything coming up?
Books?
Mm-hmm.
I have a book that is out right now that you can get on Amazon. And it's all about my story, how I came into my gifts, and also works with you on some protection. So working with sage and different things like that to protect yourself, and protect yourself as a paranormal investigator. So I wrote it as a medium, but also as a paranormal investigator.
So the idea of protection is different for everybody. What are some of the suggestions that you have for that? That's another question I get from people.
Yeah. So one thing that I think is important is that there's this idea that we have to be protected. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't protect yourself, but it's there's a fear base around what we do that is very strong. Mm-hmm. And I can meet people there and I can suggest things. But one thing I would suggest is don't be afraid. It's not about fear. That's feeding. When you're in fear, you're feeding. So you're feeding something. And so one thing we don't want to do is feed it. And so intention is really important. So stating intention is where we have our most power. So stating an intention that you are safe and that your spirit guides are there, that your angels are watching over you, that you are safe in this moment. And so it is something that we have right now. We don't need sage. We don't need crystals. We don't need, because we have the power of our intention. So then that's really important. You also do have stones and crystals that can protect you, that have energy that is tied to protection. So like smoky quartz and things like that. You can absolutely work with amethyst. It's another great one for protection. Selenite is a cleanser and a stripper, you know, and it's really good for sending back energy to Mother Earth. So, you know, there's a lot out there that you can, you know, wear a bracelet that's made out of that to protect you. Working with the ideas and connections to creating kind of a bubble, if you will, around yourself, or a protection circle around yourself can be done for protection. So there's a lot of different things you can do. There's also working with earth medicine. So like sage that we've talked about, sage is a great one for removing negative energy and things like that. Pine sage is great for scrubbing and really removing a masculine, stronger, it's a stronger energy that cleanses deeper. Using things like essential oils can be helpful. So there's many ways to stay protected when it comes to energy.
That's a good point you make about, it's all about intention, because I know a lot of people who are afraid to go into haunted locations because they think right away that because they have abilities, they walk into a place such as Goldfield Hotel, that they're going to walk away with a spirit attachment. And it's just not true. That's just not how it works.
It's not.
And it's at the same time that they think, and I think a lot of this comes from entertainment too. They think that if they have abilities and they walk into a location, they're going to become possessed and that sort of thing. And I don't think that's true either. What are your thoughts?
No, I think it's important to understand that everything is not negative. There is negative out there. I'm not going to say that there's not negative spirits. I'm not going to say that. But The only thing that I would suggest is when you are gifted and you are a sensitive and you're working with your gifts, you shine a little bit brighter. And what I mean by that is you can be seen a little bit clearer. Okay. So yes, if there's a spirit or energy there, you can be seen easier. That doesn't mean that you're a punching bag. That doesn't mean that they're going to come in and aggress on you or attack you. It just means you're probably going to sense them a little easier and they're going to see you a little easier. So I think it's important to take responsibility as a sensitive and not blame. You know, we are more sensitive. We are. That doesn't mean they are doing anything to us, right? I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just saying that we have to be responsible for our own sensations, our own feelings, seeing, hearings, and knowings. And because we can do that, doesn't mean they are afflicting it upon us.
That's absolutely true. Now, I have been in locations, though, that I walk out of there just completely bawling and things like that. But again, you're right. That's me having to separate what's mine from what's theirs, right?
Yes.
Because it's almost like it's okay to be overcome with emotion, I guess, but at the same time, realize that it's not necessarily a negative thing. It just means that you're feeling that emotion and that you have to kind of separate from that entity or spirit.
And I'm okay with people erroring on the fact that, oh, geez, I feel overwhelmed. I'm going to step outside. Then do. I'm not saying stay there. I'm not saying stay with it. It's your fault. No, I'm just saying that, you know, when you start to blame, you start to feed. When you blame something, you're feeding it. So if it is negative, you're giving it exactly what it's asking for.
Again, I have a friend who he was a little bit afraid of a lot of the different spiritual world. And you know what happened to him? He went home and he actually got scratched from a spirit. And I strongly believe it was from the location that we were at.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because he was very fearful on it. And it just really fed whatever entity he had come in contact with. It was very interesting.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, I think it's really important that the idea of scratches, right? So this idea of they're scratching us. Energy works in crazy ways. Okay. So energy moves from one location to the next. What it does in between is move. And so we always say they scratch us, but is it really a scratch? We're not manifesting a finger as a spirit to scratch. So I think it's important to know that that could be, and this is me personally, my own personal opinion, a misfire. It could be miscommunication. It could be a blast of energy. But there is no, I doubt there's a spirit going, oh, I'm manifesting my finger. Scratch. I don't think it works that way. I think we can be affected. It looks like a scratch, but I'm not so sure that, you know, we don't know everything as investigators. So we're still learning.
It's really interesting. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to add?
No, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for being brave in your own gifts. Thank you for having a voice to communicate about your own belief systems and thoughts on the paranormal. I think it's important. And I think it allows people to come together. And I think this is what's so important is that we have a community that is open to the idea of metaphysics and the idea of the paranormal, because there are so many people out there experiencing things. And I think it's important that we come together to say, you're not alone. Don't be afraid. And that there is a place for you. You have a place with us. And I think that's important. So thank you.
Thank you again, Sarah. And also, if somebody wants to sign up or purchase your book or get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Oh, you can find me on Facebook. I'm Medium Sarah Lemos, or you can find me at mediumsarahlemos.com. You can find me on TikTok at Medium Sarah Lemos. Just go ahead and Google me and I'll be there.
Sarah, you are a wonderful soul. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Why, thanks.
Yes, now I am. Yes.
Are you still there?
There we go.
For some reason, my internet is... For some reason, my internet keeps on blocking out. Thank you. Thanks again. And thank you. Thank you. You're a beautiful soul, and I love talking to you, and I'm definitely going to have
you
back.
Please do.
You've been listening to The Gateway, your portal to the unexplained and mystical and otherworldly, broadcast live from United Public Radio 107.7 New Orleans. I'm your host, C.L. Thomas. I wanted to mention one more thing before I go. This July, I will be in Virginia City for the Magical History Weekend at Piper's Opera House, July 12th through the 14th. It will be a weekend of talks, haunted histories, and a meet and greet with me and a lineup of others. I think Dave Schrader is going to be there too. Look for where to sign up on my Facebook page, and tickets are on sale now. If you can't find it on Facebook, you can also find it on my website, info@clthomas.org. Thank you for listening.